A new Haines mayor and assembly members begin their terms. And a settlement is proposed in Alaska Power Company's request to raise electric rates. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly met in executive session Tuesday night to discuss the ongoing case between Alaska Power Company and the State Regulatory Commission over a proposed power rate increase. The company, which provides electric service to most Haines and Skagway residents, as well as residents in southeast communities like Craig, Thorne Bay, Prince of Wales, and several small interior communities, wants to raise rates by 18% across the board. That proposal was opposed by most communities, and the RCA agreed to look further into it before making its decision on the approval. Most communities became interveners in the case, giving them a bigger role in the case and allowing communities to have their attorneys represent their interests in the proceedings. The state attorney general is also representing all ratepayers in the case. The state and Alaska Power Company met in a settlement conference last week. According to attorney Patrick Munson, who is representing the Haynesboro in the case, the state and power company reached a tentative agreement that would allow an 11.18% increase. Munson said the legal paperwork for the settlement is still being drafted, but he did give the Haines Assembly an update in executive session. Munson said the communities are not bound by the settlement agreement yet, and they would have to approve it by resolution for the case to be settled. After the nearly hour-long executive session, the Assembly didn't give any indication of its discussion, although Assembly Member Joanne Waterman said after reconvening in public that the Assembly agreed the borough would check in with other communities on the settlement offer before making a decision. An 11% rate increase is more than double the increase suggested by one utility expert who testified on behalf of the Attorney General in September. As we reported in our Monday evening newscast, Ralph Smith detailed in 40 pages of testimony his review of Alaska Power Company's financial documents and why he recommends a 5.1% rate increase is more appropriate. During its regular meeting on Tuesday, the Haines Assembly started out with a presentation by P&D engineers on the condition of the Lutac dock. The firm finished an assessment on the dock recently and was presenting its findings, namely that the dock has reached the end of its life and is surviving on borrowed time. The engineers explained that parts of the dock are solid and some of the steel is in fair condition, making it possible to still use at least parts of the dock. But the bad news, engineers say, is that the dock is 60 years old, with major corrosion and strength issues. Sinkholes have appeared on the dock, and sections are now blocked off from use. The dock is not up to the standard needed to survive a moderate earthquake. Engineers said anything over a 2 to 3 point earthquake could damage the dock further. P&D's report suggests the dock is still usable, as long as there is a plan to repair and replace the structure. Manager Dave Sosa says he's talked with the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority about the dock. He wants to bring a community group together to identify options for a replacement, depending on what needs the community wants the dock to serve. In the interim, Sosa says repairs or fixes to keep the dock operational could range anywhere from $40,000 to $100,000. During the regular meeting, the newly elected Mayor Jan Hill and new Assembly members Mike Case and Ron Jackson took their oaths of office and joined the meeting. Stephanie Scott, Deborah Schnabel, and Jerry Lapp stepped down. Scott served as mayor for 3 years. She noted that Schnabel had served a total of 18 years on the Assembly, and Lapp had been serving as an Assembly member or mayor continuously for the last 19 years. During the meeting, the Assembly heard from several people about the Soboloff-McRae Veterans Village. The Assembly at the last meeting postponed the issue of providing a property tax break to the facility on the recommendation of the manager and borough attorney. The Assembly wants the borough to hammer out its policy and guidelines for tax-exempt community uses. The issue is more complex in that the manager at the last meeting said the borough has no clear guidelines for what can be considered a community use exemption. And he says the Veterans Village doesn't require residents fall under traditional exemptions like income, disability, or senior status. The village gives preference to veterans or veterans' families, but has no other requirements. The main problem is that the policy overhaul won't likely be completed by the end of the year. and that means the Veterans Village won't likely get the exemption it seeks for the tax year, and therefore will have to find a way to pay the property tax bill or pass the costs on to residents. Haines Assisted Living Community Manager Vince Hansen asked the Assembly to reconsider the vote from last meeting, but with the new Assembly seated, only Joanne Waterman or Diana Lapham could have made that motion, and neither did. The Assembly also approved submitting a comment on the Juneau Access Road project, which reiterates the Assembly's opposition to the project on the east side. Mayor Jan Hill did not make any committee assignments or appoint a deputy mayor Tuesday. She said those decisions would be coming in the next few weeks. Also in Borough News, manager Dave Sosa in his manager's report for the Assembly writes that tourism director Leslie Ross will serve as interim community and economic development director while that position is being filled. The borough created the community and economic development director position in this year's budget. Former executive assistant Darcy Kulbeck was offered the job but turned it down. The borough is currently accepting applications, but Sosa and former Mayor Stephanie Scott signed off on the emergency hire of Ross to fill the position. Tammy Piper is acting as tourism director in the meantime. Sosa and Scott signed off on the emergency hire because they said there are pressing issues that could be addressed by Ross in the interim, like taking advantage of the $1.2 million biomass grant the borough received from the state this year. Sosa also outlined tasks he wants Ross to address as the interim director, including projects already underway like Picture Point, downtown revitalization, the sledding and ski hill, ski trails, and the safe routes to school. In our continued election coverage, we're taking a look at different candidates and issues you'll see on the ballot next Tuesday. Today we have a report about congressional candidate Forrest Dunbar, who says he will push to protect a key federal fishery law if he's elected. The Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act governs harvests in federal waters. Some political observers say it could be altered if the November election changes the balance of power in the U.S. Senate. Dunbar says Alaska's fisheries need to be protected.
We don't want to see many large-scale changes. We think the act is largely working well now. We're worried about other large, powerful outside interests coming in and making significant changes. I do believe that we can stop that, though, and I don't think it's a particularly partisan issue.
Dunbar, an Anchorage Democrat, is challenging Republican incumbent Don Young for Alaska's lone seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. Young and Alaska's two U.S. senators have voiced similar concerns about the Fisheries Act. Dunbar voiced his concerns last week during a visit to Sitka. He voiced concerns about British Columbia mines near rivers that flow into the ocean in or near southeast Alaska. He said the U.S. State Department could do more to pressure Canadian officials.
Every time they sit down with Canada, this should be one of the first things they bring up. You know, these transboundary mines are going to damage our fisheries. They're a real risk, and we want you to stop them. Some of them we're going to stop. Some of them we'll just have to have better containment.
The 30-year-old candidate faces 81-year-old Young, who has served 21 terms. Dunbar got his law degree from Yale, where Sitka-based state representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins also studied.
I think I probably met him first when he was 19 years old about that. Of course, he was bald then, too. But incredibly impressive young man, and we stayed in contact, and I was very happy to see him run for the State House.
Christ Tompkins, a Democrat, is being challenged in the upcoming election by Petersburg Republican Stephen Samuelson, although now, through redistricting, Christ Tompkins will no longer represent Haines and Clukwan. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Don't forget you can visit our news section online at khns.org anytime. We also post breaking news and important announcements on our KHNS News Facebook page, so make sure you follow us there. And we're always open to your comments and story ideas, so drop us a line at news@khns.org. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.